Hello, sugar beet.
Oh my goodness. Hello, turnip cakes.
That's a new one. Have you seen the New Jersey signs that are like, reckless driving is worse than fruitcake. Happy Thanksgiving.
No, but that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good. Very threatening.
I told Jory I want a job with the state that is working with the DOT and pre-programming those signs. I'd be perfect for it.
I'm Lillian Bussell.
I'm Jen Ponton.
And we have a special guest. I don't know if you can hear him purring on this microphone, but my cat Loki is on my lap and he's very loud
Free
today.
ASMR.
So if something... Yes, if you hear... Oh, no, sorry, he's done. Just kidding. I have had enough! Welcome to All the Fucks, where everything... Where your heart feels like you were trying to take the stuffing out of the oven and you just burnt the inside of your arm a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to All the Fucks, where you ate so much of your yummy mashed yams with marshmallows that then the inside of your mouth... went on strike.
Wow. Yes. Yep. That's solid. Also, the one where the turkey is still frozen in the middle.
Oh, no. I went to Thanksgiving with my friend April and her aunt, who she didn't even know very well, but happened to be in Florida, which is where we were. Mm-hmm. And she made us like a little frozen turkey loaf, which I had never seen before, but sure, whatever. And even that was frozen in the middle.
Oh, no.
She was a very old lady. She probably shouldn't have been cooking for herself, probably let alone not. The rest of us. But yes. Anyway, that's what I think of when I think of that.
And finally, when you make the legend, your family's favorite aspic, and you bring it to someone's place for a new Thanksgiving... And everyone avoids it, and no one knows what it is. That's mine. That's my heart.
I was at a New Year's Eve thing at Don's mom's house, and the kid's piano teacher brought creamed pickled herring. And she was very sad that no one even touched it. And I was like, it's one thing to bring it, right? To be like, here's a big swing. Mm. It's quite another to be like, upset that no one can you just
indignant.
Like just say those three words
I
out
can't.
Loud
I can't Mm-mm. I no. don't understand it is my least Jewish trait. Mm. I don't understand how you make peace with cream and some kind of whitefish.
Well, I do like a whitefish salad. It's the same as tuna salad to me, only a different fish. Like if you mm-hmm. when they like shred it up really fine and they put it with a little mayo as a spread, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. That I actually like a whole
That's
lot.
That's doable.
Like I've had a similar salmon spread, but like I don't want dairy and fish are not really like what I go for together. And now that I'm not really trying to eat a lot of dairy, especially, but yeah, like oh. Ma'am, you don't get to be.
No,
you don't
earn indignance from that. Once upon a time, that was a staple in my household, and I was like, please.
Creamed pickled herring?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Look at your face. Oof. Mm. Wow, I did not mean to re-traumatize
you.
Oh,
my
that
God. I was
awful.
Like, hide that jar, throw it away, do not open it in my vicinity, open the windows.
It comes in a jar?
Uh-huh.
Open the window.
It comes in a jar like Vlasic pickles.
Ugh.
It is. I'm sure it's for someone. It's not for me.
Oh, no. No.
Although, speaking of fish, I have to, like, this is such a win. Praise report. I had been writing all afternoon until right now, till I saw you. And I felt like lunch, but I don't ever have good things for lunch. Like I kind of do extended breakfast or snacks, and I just kind of can't make lunch happen. It's not part of my skill set, But today I was like, oh, I don't want to have like oatmeal or cereal or picket shit. Like maybe I have soup. So I look in the soup cabinet. I'm light on soup, but I have tuna. And my apologies to you and all of our fuck buddies. I have Miracle Whip. I know this is a terrible story, but this is how my dad liked it. And so I was not taught any better.
Some people swear by that tangy zip.
It's
too sweet for me.
It is. Yes. And it still tastes like home. So.
Yeah. Oh, I totally get it.
Never not.
I totally get it. Like I think we've talked about this before, and my family's thing where I'm like, I know this is trashy, but my great grandma used to make, she used to take alphabet soup, and she would make a whole bunch of egg noodles, like the kind that you would just have as butter noodles, mm-hmm. and some ground beef. And she would just put all that together. And I gotta tell you, it is delicious.
Sure.
Like it's like pre-hamburger helper, hamburger helper. It is delicious.
What did you guys call it?
Mimi noodle soup.
Mimi noodle soup. Because
that was what we called our great grandma, was Mimi.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, I made myself my dad's favorite tuna fish, and I ate it on toast, and it was fucking divine. And then Yay. I rustled up a can of, like, old vegetable soup, and I warmed it up. So I nailed it today. If that's the only success I had today, and it's not, thankfully, but if that was the only thing I had, I nailed it. Job done.
Right on. We love it. Super duper. Mm-hmm. What did you have for actual Thanksgiving?
Oh my God. So, fuck buddies. I was at a spa for Thanksgiving. I know that sounds intolerable, and I apologize. And it was fucking wonderful. It was so great. I'm at a stage in my life where all of my traditions are gone. I am officially divorced.
Hey.
It's done. I'm officially divorced. And my family, who used to run Thanksgiving, which had my Thanksgivings for most of my life, stopped doing them, and then my ex and I took over. So now I have no Thanksgivings, which is fine. And so my mom was like, let's do something radical and go to a spa. And I was like, done and done. You're like, hooray. You don't have to pull my arm. I'm good. So
willing to try more radical things this year.
Yes. And if there's any way I could get you and Don to come with me one time, maybe not for Thanksgiving, but like,
ooh.
Just there in general. Yes. Just putting that out there.
You have excellent taste in vacation spots.
Oh my God, it's the best. It's the fucking best. So, So the way that this place works is that they have a restaurant, and they've got, it's all included in your stay, but you have a whole menu you can choose from. So on Thanksgiving night, they had a whole bunch of things you could eat for dinner, and there's no wrong thing to choose. All of the food is spectacular, every ounce of it. But they did then have your standard turkey dinner, turkey and mashed potatoes, definitely some cranberry situation, probably some green beans.
Please welcome to the stage, cranberry situation.
Why can I not remember? I can't remember. I can't remember because I took a very potent edible.
Yay.
I took a very potent edible. And
you don't need memories.
We had a great, great time. It was delicious fucking food. It was so spectacular. And they had like this apple tart thing that was just magnificent. Like I ate it for dessert both days because it was
yum.
It was so hum.
And, Mom.
And they had rosemary bread and pumpkin loaf that they gave you in the bread basket. But I mean, oh my god, we have to go. We would tear it the fuck up.
Yay, I'm into it. Into it.
So I know this wasn't Thanksgiving Day exactly, but you did the cutest thing on earth pre-Thanksgiving.
Which one?
In what Florida.
Which thing that I did?
You saw your college
just the whole trip?
Besties.
Oh, okay.
You guys
yeah.
all got matching tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
You got up to nonsense.
Oh, my God. I love these people to the moon and back. And what is amazing, I really hope that everybody who's listening has at least one person in their life where, like, time can go by. And when you reconnect with that person, it is like no time has passed. And, like, you know, sometimes you're friends with someone for a long time and then a long time goes by and then you talk to them and they're doing something weird or they're being a dick in some way and you feel like you can't say anything because you're like, well, I'm not really part of your life anymore. No. We reconverge and we're all like, hey, why are you so fucking snotty about this? Why are you being so picky? Hey, why don't you manage this or whatever better? Like, we
I need details.
Oh, absolutely not.
Fair.
No, but little things, just like one of my friends is very picky about food. Well, one of them is picky about food and the other one doesn't like really like to eat, like just doesn't derive enjoyment from eating. So it was a very complicated weekend as far as that goes. And I don't know how we all lived together for so long, just where the food situation is concerned. But my friend April hates onions so much that for years she told people that she was allergic to onions because they pop up in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just say you don't like them, people probably don't pay attention to that and don't think that you can't taste them or whatever. But she can for whatever reason. And she lied about that. She still lies about it, but not to me. You know, she's never going to listen to this. I'm not eating cheese, but they wanted cheese for breakfast. And I was like, have you tried the shreds that have like Velveeta in them? It's supposed to make a little meltier. And she points to something else and she was like, that stuff with the cream cheese in it tastes like shit. And I was like, I'm not talking about that. And then I was like, maybe I'll get a grapefruit juice. And she was like, oh, that's disgusting. People who drink grapefruit juice deserve a medal. And I was like, I don't remember you being this mad about food preference. She was like, you're weird. So we did. And then Chris just sits back and watches like and laughs at us. So we had I missed that bickering. And we went to get matching tattoos, which was something that I brought up partially because there are tattoos that I've been thinking about wanting to get, and I've been so precious about it because I have this one on my hip that I've had since I was 18 and I never got another one. And I go back and forth with a crisis of indecision because I'm like, should I try to use a thigh as a canvas and like try to compose something on it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Rather than getting like, this reminds me of my dog, this reminds me of a vacation, this reminds me of that, versus decorating my body in a yes. way that I think would make it look prettier, which is kind of what I lean towards, but I like the sentimental stuff also. So I felt like this would be a nice, fun little bonding thing for us. Plus, it might get me over the hump of being so precious about it. And we were like, I literally just said, let's do it. And they were like, yep. And each one of them also has exactly one tattoo. And April was like, well, St. Augustine is where we went to school and Flagler College and all of that is very supposed to be very haunted. And she was like, there's one thing that's a running theme for St. Augie. It's ghosts. So we all picked a different ghost. Chris got a ghost holding a slice of pizza. I got a ghost holding a cat, which upon closer inspection looks a bit like a ghost with a pig nose, just because of the way the line work came out. But it's fine. Either way, that's fine. A ghost with a pig nose, all good. And April got a ghost holding some books with a cup of tea on top with some steam coming out of it that looks like either a candle or a bomb. It was the end of the night. This guy was super fun to work with, but I don't think he was very good. Also, the top of her ghost's head is a little pointy. She got hers on her forearm, like right here.
Ah, so. Shit.
It's a little bit skewed, so it looks like it's flying forward. So that's fine. That wasn't the intention, but that's fine. And the head has like a dent in it. Great. not like dear David Dent, but like Dent. So anyway, yes, that was super fun. And then on Thanksgiving, it was just a friend and my brother-in-law and my husband, and I cooked the shit out of a turkey. It was so delicious. And I'm impressed to announce that, like, I got exactly the right size turkey, and we just polished off all the leftovers today. So none of that went to waste. And yeah, a good time was had by all.
No also, frozen middle for you, girl.
No, that's actually never been a problem for me, specifically the frozen middle part. Although one year I did cook the turkey with the giblets and the neck still in the cavity.
Nice. Very nice.
I think that I noticed it about halfway through when I went to baste it. But this time I used one of the roasting bags, so you don't even have to baste it. It's perfect every time, unless you super love that crispy, crispy, crispy skin. Mm-hmm. But if you love that, then, like, just broil it for a little bit afterwards. Anyway, and also I knew more of the performers in the Thanksgiving parade than I have in years, which was very exciting.
Yay! That's exciting.
Did you watch the parade?
I did not, but I thought about you.
Oh, did you just start recording?
I did. Oh, well. Oh, well. It'll be a picture of us for the first, whatever, 15 minutes.
Oh, we're very cute, though. Yeah, I
heard the parade stopped.
What?
I heard the parade, it didn't make it to TV, but the internet found it. The parade stopped when a bunch of, you know, a bunch of ceasefire protesters filled the street.
Oh, and my demanded
God. A ceasefire.
Wow.
They were cleared pretty quickly and things resumed, but it happened.
Oh, my gosh.
It happened.
I am not surprised that we didn't actually hear about it on the TV, but I'm surprised that I didn't hear about it on socials.
I saw it. Who posted it? I think Channy Nicholas did.
Oh, nice.
I think Channy, yeah.
That's rad.
It is rad. It is. Fucking loathsome time to be on Earth, my dude. God damn it.
Horrendous. Everything is really, really horrendous. I will say, no, I don't know what I'll say. I will say that, like, everything was very much on my mind this year in a way that's way more tangible than it has been in any other year, except for maybe COVID. Like, yeah. And that was a different thing on my mind. But just, like, the weight of, you know, Indigenous folks watching us whoop it up every year,
right?
To, you know, everything that's happening in Gaza, to everything that's happening here, and hearing people talk about not voting for Biden again because of disenfranchised feelings, and I understand that, and also the terror on the other side of that of, like, looking down the barrel of another Trump administration.
Yep.
But boy, did I make some good cranberry sauce.
Look, it feels ludicrous, but it's not, because how the fuck are we supposed to get through on an individual level?
Oh, no.
You gotta do whatever you gotta do to make it to tomorrow.
Right.
To throw in.
It's just a lot to have in your mouth at once.
Yes, it is. Literally, my jaw has been killing me. On and off, up and down. It did not at the spa, not shocking, but it did. Up until the spa, and then I was like, oh, my mouth doesn't hurt anymore. And then I went back into the world, and I was like, ah. And it's like, I know it's the stress and agony of this time, of being Jewish in this time. And to witness what a lot of my fellow people are saying, and I hate it. It makes me, I'm so dismayed, horrified, disheartened, fucking aghast. Like, I, just yesterday, I accidentally found the really Jewish area of, like, Cherry Hill.
Okay.
I knew there was one, but I didn't know much about it. I'm just like, South Jersey, we're not here. But to see the number of, like, I stand with Israel signs is so... It's so awful. Like, I get why we may have felt that way in early October.
Who gave those people those signs / where did they buy them? That's the other thing. Like, somebody is either distributing them or they felt like, oh, I got to let people know so much that I'm going to buy one. That seems unlikely.
Yeah. And there are temples all over. So they're all over the temples, too. And I'm like, oh, God. Come on. It's our job to see this and say it. Like, it doesn't erase any suffering we've gone through. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't delegitimize us as being marginalized, but it does stop us from, or, you know, if not us, certainly Israel as a power, from exacting the same kind of horrific things that were exacted upon Jews. To ignore it is a crime. It's and it feels really privileged to say I don't know how we're going to recover from this, because, you know, we are in America and there are people who are unquestionably not recovering from shit
right
in Palestine right now. Like, mm-hmm. It's horrifying. But I think about the future of this. I think about when this is coming home to roost in a much more dramatic way here in America. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just, to see people dig in their heels and to be so dogmatic, hurts and it sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. It hurts and it sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's really not helping the anti-Semitism.
No. No. No.
And then people are like, people say that, you know, that's an anti-Semitic remark. That's just a stereotype. But then a lot of us are doing that exact thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to maintain. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to my friendships with people who I love, who are more closely tied to Israel as, like, part of their identity. That's just not how I feel as an American Jew. Mm-hmm. It's never how I felt. I don't know. So my jaw has been feeling it. And I've yeah.
Do you have a mouth guard?
I do. I do. Because what I didn't tell you is that back to stupid fucking first world problems. Mm. I have been waiting to get a dental appointment down here for just a cleaning for the entire year. In February, I made an appointment for October because my old dentist is 2 hours away. And I was like, it would be crazy for me to just drive 2 hours to get my teeth cleaned. I'm not going to do that. I'll find a new dentist. I'll be sensible. So I wait all fucking year and I go to this new dentist. I hate this motherfucker. I hate him. He's cocky and rude. Ew. And he wants to do things like charge me $150 for nitrous.
Oh.
Which...
So just so you know, I do think you've been spoiled with that because I have never been able to get anyone to even let me buy it. Like, that's so crazy. Not that you don't deserve it, but I've literally when I got my tooth implant, he was like, we don't do that. If you want someone to come in and do it, we can do that, but you're gonna have to pay them a lot of money. Like, not 150, like a lot of money.
That's bonkers. I don't know what's happening. I just know I love my OG dentist so much.
Time to make a road trip, baby.
I did, girl. I did. I went to this first dentist, and I'll tell you, I didn't hate him because of the nitrous thing. I hated him because of how he acted and how he talked to me.
That's how my dermatologist, I feel about her. I need to find somebody else.
Yeah. And I had a really, like, they were like, oh my God, you grind your teeth so much. And I'm like, what? No. And they're like, no one's ever told you that? And I'm like, no, no one's ever told me I grind my teeth. And
why, like, would really? You ever have to say it like that?
They were so, my hygienist was great. She was lovely. I really liked her. This guy was a piece of shit. I hated him so much. And then I had to pay them money. And I really didn't want to do that. But then I was like, well, fuck you. I'm not coming back to get a mouth guard with you. And then I basically tattled. I called mom and told on dad. And I called my old dentist. And I was like, I had a really bad appointment because I live in South Jersey now. And I really miss you guys. And they were like, just come up. We'll make you a mouth guard. We'll give you nitrous. Come on, baby. And I'm like, yay, I'm coming to see you. So I went to them and they fit me for the mouth guard. I also thought I was going to have to get a filling. But my dentist looks in my mouth and she's like, your teeth are fine. And I'm like, what? And she's like, they're fine. This guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. I'm not going to charge you for a filling. And I'm like, oh my God, he was going to try and extract another $600 from me for a job that didn't actually have to be done.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That is some bullshit. So I'm staying with my dentist who's 2 hours away.
I get it. I moved to Hoboken and I was still going to my gynecologist on the Upper East Side until she stopped taking insurance. Oh my God. Yeah, I was traveling an hour to go to the gyno.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah. And I'm keeping my gyno up there, too, because nobody's even accepting new patients down here. I don't even have the opportunity to find someone I hate because what nobody. I couldn't even tell you. Couldn't tell you.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I did. So I think that when I got my implant put in, that the crown. So the implant is the screw that they put in your face. I always just called the whole thing an implant. I think most people do, but. In techno parlance, the screw that goes up in your face, mm-hmm. into your sinus, is fun. Called the implant. And then the thing that they put on the outside that looks like the tooth is the crown.
Got it.
I have had the implant for like a year and a half, I suppose. And I don't know if you remember, but like something happened and it came loose. And then there was this whole like slapstick, not funny though, situation where like my dentist had lost the expensive set of tools that the surgeon had sent up to him from Hoboken and or had gotten mixed in with a bunch of other tools that are all proprietary to whatever the thing is. And I was like, what? Do you remember my story about the colposcopy where the lady like set the tools down on my tummy and then walked in and out of the door with the curtain blowing five times? It was serving that. So anyway, I think that it's too long, and I think that it's making the tooth underneath it loose a little bit. I can feel it shifting. And I was like, oh, we got to unfuck that now. And The last time Don went in for a cleaning, he had to make it like months in advance. But when I called, they were like, oh, you could come in today at 3. And I was like, oh, podcast at 3. and they were like, how about tomorrow morning at 9? And I mean, I hope that I don't need to get numbed because I'm supposed to be at Lucky Honeybee by 10:30. But I was like, let's do tomorrow. Let's do tomorrow. Because a couple of times it has felt like the bottom tooth is just. Have you ever, I mean, my teeth are so crooked that they do that sometimes. Like, they sort of squeak up against each other every so often. But none of them felt loose. And this one I'm worried about. Anyway, hooray.
Oh, my God. Well, honey bunny.
Luxury bones.
Luxury bones. I find it really helpful and fascinating to, like, once in a while, I'll go down into TikTok, which is very much a sometimes thing. But on TikTok, there's this cosmetic dentist who her whole job on TikTok is to identify veneers. Because now fucking everybody has veneers. You don't see anybody's real ass individual teeth anymore.
Right.
Even if they're rather, you know, if even if there's nothing to write home about, like, they're not some English gnashers, and they're also not, like, you know, a bright, squeaky smile. Like, and so she goes through and she's like, if you are mentally comparing your smile to anyone in music, comedy, movies, TV.
Oh, not at all. That's not my problem.
You, everybody's veneers are just like candy. And I'll be honest, like, I thought about them until I realized what you needed to do to get veneers, which is
that
they have to file your teeth down to Gollum nubs. You have to just have little itsy bitsy snaggly chiclets for real ass teeth. And then they put the fake veneer on, and then you look like a pretty horse for whatever 10 years. And then you need more, but you know forever that you have Gollum nubs in your mouth, and that that's your only milk tooth. I mean, it sounds disastrous. Disastrous. Like, no.
At what price, fame?
At what fucking price? And, like, for people to be doing veneers so widespread and so prescriptively, like, just, like, just fixing every problem aesthetically, like, you could end up having really big issues because your fucking teeth are still there. They're still connected to real shit in your skull. It just seems...
Oh, boy, do I hate it.
I hate it.
I mean, that didn't make me feel better in any way, but... But I have actually, like, aesthetically, I'm not crazy about the way my teeth are crooked, but I do think that it is more endearing than gross.
Yes, of course.
And I know how to take the angles so that it doesn't look like they're too snaggly. I just don't want, I have had to part ways with too many of them. My attachment to my teeth, like, I just don't want to lose any more of them, especially because I really should be already getting two more implants, and that first one was a nightmare.
Oh, baby.
So anyway, but I have been more I have been better about wearing my implant. All right, listeners at home, if you want to write in and tell us what your recent ailments are.
Yes. Or tell us weird things about teeth.
No, don't do that. Not
tell
at
me
all.
That.
If you have a vagina dentata story, I'm here for that.
Did I ever tell you that the one dollop that Gabby started me with was colonial teeth?
I mean, it's our fault for outliving our teeth.
100.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They were never meant to last this long.
Mm-hmm. Kay just told me that one of Packy's teeth that was always little was confirmed to be a baby tooth.
Oh, I know people who have one of those. Mm-hmm. My mom had a tooth under her tongue. Yeah. I asked my sister because I was like, was that a nightmare or was that a real thing that my mom told me and showed me one time? And Beth was like, no, I remember we did it exactly once. And I was like, don't do that again. Don't show me that again.
Oh, my God, no. Was it real close to her tongue tie? Was it just like a little surprise to you?
Oh, I don't have a good mental image of it. I just remember how it made me feel.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. That's what they say, right? Yes. People might not remember what you say, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Thank you, Maya Angelou.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's Maya Angelou, yep. Discussing your mom's errant tooth under her tongue.
Vestigial shit.
Vestigial shit,
my
dude.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So last week we talked about attachment theory and we talked about reparenting a little bit. And it's something... Oh, also, I had forgotten to put my therapy appointments on my... I just quiet quit my therapist, basically. We had to reschedule so many times. And then when I said yes to a job for every Tuesday for December, I wasn't looking at my schedule that had my therapist on it. And the last conversation we had, I was like, I don't know if this is working for me anymore because I don't feel like you're pushing me in the right direction. And it's sad because I liked her.
Yeah.
But also, I don't really think that this is working. And the fact that I have then been putting off having my final or like my last chance meeting with her, I just wrote her an email and I was like, hey, I think that it's run its course. Like, thank you so much. I am so much more of a functioning human than I was a year ago. And we've been seeing each other for about a year. I signed up on Thanksgiving last year.
Oh my God. It's only been a year.
Right.
Exactly. Y'all, I could have sworn I was listening to Lillian talk about this woman for like 3 years.
Well, but you know what? No, I appreciate where she took me and what she got me through. I just feel like maybe she was so focused on who I was when I came into it that she wasn't willing to push me towards the harder stuff. And I'm ready to do that now, and she still didn't seem ready. So it's fine. It's fine. She's fine. She did what she needed to do, and like with any other healthcare practitioner, sometimes you have to find somebody else.
Sure.
I hate that I'm back at plan A, but like square one.
Yeah.
But I need to find somebody who can work with women with ADHD, and I'm actually very excited about the prospect of finding a specialist, even if it's someone I can only afford to see like once a month. So
that's not the worst thing.
Hopefully, I mean, we are very, very lucky to have very good insurance. So maybe I can find somebody. It's New York, right? You think, oh, the New York area, you'd be able to find any kind of specialist for any kind of whatever. That has not been my experience. But
that's very interesting. Very interesting.
New beginnings. But I'm so into the concept of remothering, and it's not muscle memory yet, but reframing my self-care as taking care of myself as a little girl is so unbelievably helpful, and I cannot imagine how I had not come to this in another, you know, like 10 years ago.
Aww.
It's still difficult. Like I, you know, came home from a show and dumped all my stuff out so it didn't do a sweat molder in my bag. And then I was going to pick all that up before I got on this call with you. There's still things that I'm not good at taking care of, but I'm not paralyzed by it now. You know what I mean? I can look at it and go, well, boy, I hate that I have to do that. But it's one of those Sisyphus things where it's never going to go away. I'm always going to have to keep cleaning up after myself. I'm always going to have to keep putting dishes away. And I have to figure out a way to reframe it. And this seems to be the thing.
You will get so mad, but you have to listen to that Tracy Ellis Ross episode of We Can Do Hard Things, where she talks about how much she just loves the like pedestrian little.
That's not going to, I can't come at it from that angle. I am positive that all that will do is make me furious. Just like, well, because it's some things are not for all people. The Marie Kondo method does not work with people who have hoarding disorder, because her whole thing is, does it spark joy? And the whole problem with people who can't get rid of things is that everything not just sparks joy. That's not right. It's the opposite of it. Everything, the separation from things causes pain.
Yeah.
It causes heartache. And it makes you feel like you failed in some way. So you can't use that. So listening to someone else talk about all of that, it's just, I remember listening to a friend talk about how much she loves the treat of doing laundry and smelling it and being warm. I just wanted to kick her in her face. Like she has, I'm so happy for her that that's what she likes to do. I don't like to do that. And the fact that you derive joy from something that makes me so angry.
Do you know? This is crazy, though. I love doing laundry because of you.
Huh. What?
Okay. All right. Here's the kicker. This is going to be a very enjoyable memory for you and story for
everyone
else.
We can remother each other.
That's right. For me, one of the most flummoxing parts of laundry is that you do it and then you put it away. And then while it's away, it picks up a whole new dumb smell. You call it drawer smell.
Drawer smell. Yes, yes, yes.
And so all of, right, everything that goes in a drawer, t-shirts, socks and underwear, less so, but like t-shirts, pairs of pants, pajamas, mm-hmm. all end up smelling like drawer. Mm-hmm. And anytime I used to put them on, I smelled like drawer, and I was so mad because I knew I had used the dryer sheets I liked, and I knew that they were clean. I couldn't figure it out. And then I saw you, and I think it was probably before or after a flea, and I was like, Lillian, why does everything that you own smell so good no matter what? And you were like, oh, nothing smells like drawer. And I was like, yeah, that's right. Nothing smells like drawer. What the fuck is this? And mm-hmm. you were like, I believe in unstoppable scent boosters from Downy.
Yes. And baking soda. Yep.
And baking soda. Okay. Yep. That's new. I'm going to fold that one in. What do you do with the baking soda?
So I usually put like a cup in if it's something that I don't need to smell fresh as daisies. But that helps a lot with like towels and anything that has like deep funk. Remember how I told you I got that dress from the person who, and it smelled a little B-O-E? Yes?
Yes.
I just washed it twice with baking soda and it's fine.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Got it. Right. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Fuck, that's great. Okay. So now you've given me more reasons to love it. Once I got into the boosters, though, like, I was fucking unstoppable. I don't get drawer smell anymore.
You're downy unstoppable.
Yeah. That's right. And my mom thinks that everything is way too fragranced, but I know it's going to be fragranced no matter what. It's just going to smell like lavender and vanilla, or it's going to smell like drawer.
Right. Yep. Yeah, there's your body oils settle into things and then it smells like unwashed hair after a while. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you put stuff in the drawer, like drawer liners or whatever with it. Because there was an old, I think it was a Glade, some sort of air freshener ad from the 80s that it was like, ooh, it smells like fish. And it had like wavily ghost fish in the air. And right, they sprayed something and it was like, now it smells like fish and roses.
Yes. Yes.
But that's, yeah, your clothes are either going to be clean and smell clean or they're going to smell like, you know, humans body oils have... and being closed up inside something that's probably made out of press board from IKEA.
Yep. Yep. It's been a savior.
Or cedar. And I don't want to smell like cedar all the time. Like, right. I like cedar. It smells nice, but I don't.
I like cedar in a perfume, not in a little block.
We got to go to that olfactory place, you and me. Let's do that for my birthday.
What's the place where? Olfactory place?
Remember how I got the perfume that smells like, I think it's called the old, like factory, like a factory. The thing that smells like the up the wooden staircase.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So I'm in love with that scent and I want to get it blended with one of the things that I got the little samples of. It is called the Olfactory. It is 2281 Mott Street. And you basically, I had not booked a time, but you can go there and do it like as an experience, or you can just buy small little versions of their kits. Either way. So if you don't live near New York, you can do this online where they give you, you don't give you anything. They don't give you shit. You buy a sample pack of certain like, not even base notes, but certain blends and then blends that you can blend with the blends. So you'll get, And now I don't want to have to spray it on and then put the vanilla that I like to mix it with, but it's vanilla and sandalwood on top of, I think cedar and vetiver and some stuff that's just like, it smells like a fresh hope chest with some vanilla. Yeah, it's nice.
So nice. Mm-hmm.
And I get so many compliments on it. I just love it. And especially now that it's winter, I'm going to be doing more of that. Can we talk about fragrances just for a little bit? Because I feel like that has not to do with actual attachment theory specific things, but like...
Memories and shit?
Yeah, just like how I feel attached to / nostalgic about things. And I'm worried about it because someone just told me recently that like your sense of smell starts fading as you get older.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not. My mom seems to find plenty of things that I have that she takes umbrage with.
I mean, also, it's been interesting for me because I have noticed that, like, I haven't been using as much salt on my food since I quit smoking cigarettes. So I feel like I had a dip, obviously, during COVID. Don still lost some of his smell. But I feel like I'm back to where I was before COVID and a little bit better, I think. I think that my taste and smell are both baseline better than years before.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. Did you know that there's some people who are, I think we have talked about this, who are like super sniffers?
I think we've talked about this.
Yeah. Where you have like extra, you can smell things really acutely.
Oh, I wonder if that's me.
You might be.
I might be. I know for sure that there was like some kind of color test, like how color sensitive are your eyes?
Ooh.
And it's like every single shade, every single hue in a rainbow in really tiny increments, incremental changes, and being able to identify how many different colors you see. I think I got like 100 or 99% accuracy on it.
Wow.
And it's very unlikely for people to feel that way.
Oh my God, please send that to me. I cannot wait to look at it.
Ooh, I'll have to try and figure out what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I felt so excited by it.
That's so good.
Especially because I remember my ex saw like 4 colors. Not as in he was colorblind, but like, you know, the limitations of dudes in colors, I think, pretty standardly. And I would see 11D shades. And I was like, I'm more accurate because I'm a better eye on this. And he was like, no. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take a test to prove it. And then I did. And I'm like, you have to defer to me. I know what the fuck periwinkle is, okay?
Yeah. Oh my God. Amazing. Isn't it so funny? It's so funny, I think, what we get caught up in as far as like, you know, there's a term for this, like your core beliefs, like about yourself, like whether you're a winner or a loser, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like what the things where you're just like, I grew up feeling lucky because my mom entered me in lots of contests, so I won lots of things. And then I grew up feeling like I had to be lucky because my mom needed me to win all kinds of things, which was very awful. But
oh, God, dang. That's an awful thing to have to reframe.
Whatever. It's literally the least of my worries. Oh, I won stuff too much. But when I was doing my burlesque bingo brunch yesterday, I was asking people like if they had ever won, if they felt lucky and like if they ever won anything big. I was killing time because I needed to gently put all of the balls back where they needed to go. And any time I've ever rushed that, I've lost one. Mm. In the little turny crank thing, I have like an old school bingo thing.
Oh, God, I love it.
It's pretty satisfying. We were talking about winning stuff off of the radio. Have you ever won anything off of the radio?
Oh, my God. Did I? This is the story where I shook down my friend Matt in college when he was a radio DJ.
Nice.
And he was like, and on his little radio talk show, he and his co-host, I think Anthony, were gifting away a pair of tickets to Moving Out on Broadway. But you had to call in and you had to answer Billy Joel trivia to do
it.
Oh,
yeah. You told me about this. I don't know if you've told them about this.
And the question was, what did Billy Joel really want to do before he became a musician? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm probably the only one listening to this show. And I call in from my dorm phone and I'm like, Matt, I know the answer. And he's like, yeah, hon, what is it? And I'm like, he wanted to be a history teacher. And he's like, nah, that's not it. Gotta call back. And I keep calling back and I'm like, bud, he wanted to be a history teacher. That's the whole reason that we didn't start the fire is a thing. And eventually, I was the only one calling, and he's like, hun, he wanted to be like a boxer or something, but whatever. All right, you're getting the ticket. Congratulations. So it was a unique.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
He did me a solid.
That's great. We did jump from smell straight to this, but that's fine. I think everybody listening is used to that. I won tickets to see Rent with like most of the original cast still.
Wow.
Some of the original cast. Because I guess people don't go to Broadway or didn't used to go to Broadway a whole lot on Halloween. So it was on like actual Halloween night, and we were all seated all the way in the back, and then they let us move all the way up to the front. But yeah, like I won a Goonies backpack
from a coloring
contest, and I loved it. It was yellow, and it had like the little silhouette logo of them all like running.
My God!
Yeah, it was wonderful.
That's the kind of shit I would fucking sniff out on eBay and pay like $75 for.
Right. Yeah, it was nice. I remember when it started to fray, the actual little plastic strands started like pulling apart like burlap. And I was like, no. And then things started falling out of it and I had to get a new one.
Oh my God.
If I may, though, I shouldn't have been in charge of making the decision to get myself a new backpack. I was in first grade.
That's fair.
That's another thing that Chris and April and I talked about a lot this past weekend was I felt like everyone around us in college had their shit together more. Like, I felt like, how did anyone expect me to take care of myself? I was such a, like, just unmedicated, brain sloppy mess. Emotions running hot to the touch. What is the big thing on the side? Is that a
data.
Pin?
It's data.
Oh, it didn't have that, but it had the other thing. Is there a little, so it's blurry, but is there a little, like, silhouette of them all, like, running?
Yeah, with sloth.
That's amazing. Yeah. It didn't have a big data on it.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that funny? So good. Nice job.
Oh, so good. Okay, I'm sorry, Levy.
Nice Googling.
You were talking about how, what was the thing you were just saying?
Oh, sure. I was lamenting at how I feel like at 17, 18, 19, so many people were able to show up in college and get things done as well as care for themselves. Oh, we were specifically talking about how our meal plan was such that on the weekends, there was a big block of time when the dining hall was open, but like from, let's say 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the little snack stand, which you could usually go to after the hours of the dining hall wasn't open on Sunday. So if you did not present yourself at the dining hall sometime between those hours, you just didn't fucking eat on a Sunday. And there were multiple times that April and I would like go make Chris come to the dining hall because we knew he would just sleep all day and then not eat because he doesn't like to eat. and I was like, it's amazing that any of us got through any of it I couldn't take care of myself. And Chris was like, that's not true. It's not true that you weren't capable of taking care of yourself. You took care of yourself despite the fact that you had to take care of your mother. You took care of yourself despite... He was like, none of our parents helped us in any way in college. We got by on our stupid work study grants that we applied for. And then we figured out how to be frugal about stuff when we shouldn't have had to have been because we were still just children.
All three of you were Goonies.
We were.
Ah, that's a very important little piece of your friendship.
But we were also, like, I mean, not Slumdog Millionaire, but, like, we, all three of us came from almost squalor.
Right. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It would have been helpful if we had made people friends with people who had money, because then we could have moved in with them and got a nicer place. But, yeah, no, all of us.
That's how class works, baby. That's right. How class works. They mm-hmm. don't even put you in the same vicinity of each other because right. they don't want communal, they being like the oligarchic, you know, fucking patriarchy.
Well, I think that, I think, first of all, traumatized people can recognize trauma in other people. Mm. I can feel and smell it from a mile away. I can have moments in a room with someone and know that they've been through some of the shit that I've been through. I just do. Yeah. And the rich sniff out the rich. Like, we had a friend who had very expensive handbags and also was friends/roommates with our other pal. And, she didn't make a big deal out of it, but her family had enough money that she had a penny's credit card for emergencies. And Penny's is not an expensive place, but you know what I mean. Yeah, when you're sure. coming from me where I'm like, my mom won't pay more than $5 for a pair of shoes for me. Meanwhile, my other friend, her mom is paying her rent and she can buy clothes whenever she wanted. That should be the baseline parenting until you can take care of yourself. But it was right. not for us.
Right. Of course.
But it was nice to hear that, like, I very often feel like I'm a mess. And I'm really trying to focus on being more grateful about the fact that, like, I've sort of, you know, I'm on the upswing from whatever dark, nasty hole I was in for a while and masking because I'm good at that. So I don't have the sadness from the depression or the exhaustion from pretending like I'm not depressed, which is exciting.
Fuck. praise received.
Woof. Woof.
You laying them down, girl.
Listen, that's all we did. We literally stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning, the three of us, just like laughing and crying, dredging, poking bears, yeah. dredging up things. This maybe is telling too much of a tale about other people. But, like, we have been through so much together that we have all then repressed because we're very good. We remember other people's incidents. Mm. Like, I'm like, oh, you think blah, blah, blah? No, I remember a time that you did this, this, and this. And then people were remembering that about me, too, which is wild to have other people remember things about you where I'm like, I don't know. Was I asleep? Probably. I slept a lot. But Chris was saying something about how he didn't mind going to the doctor and it wasn't a big deal and he doesn't hurt himself very often anyway. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that I did a minor surgery on your finger in your kitchen the last time I was here. And he was like, that doesn't count. And I was like, your finger is gross. I think it does. I think it does. I had enough Girl Scout training and street rat knowledge that I was able to uninfect his finger.
Dang.
But that's how we took care of each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's thankfully not something that I have to pull out all the time. But it is a skill. Like, talk about soft skills, man.
So I'm curious. Mm-hmm. The three of you came from the same kind of trauma, the same kind of parenting.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you first met, sharing and disclosing that with each other?
Not specifically, but the first couple of months of college were mostly trauma bonding with all of the people that I made friends with. Like, our school was not comfortable in any way. There weren't hardly any books in the brand new giant library. It was hard to get around. Like, you had to call a cab, which was not cheap, to go to Walmart even. There weren't, like, we didn't have fridges in our rooms. We weren't allowed to have microwaves. We had no access to a fridge. I told you, like, if you had to be on campus your first year and you couldn't have a car because there were no parking spaces, so you were fucking trapped in the weirdest city in the world. Like, St. Augustine is great for tourists. It's not if you're basically, it was like glamping, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't have air conditioning.
Oh, no.
I would go sleep during the day in the library because it was cold and empty because there were no books in it.
How the fuck did this end up being the school that you chose?
It was so far away from Virginia.
That's it?
No, here's I applied to three schools. I applied to NYU and I got waitlisted. I applied to William and Mary and I did not get in, which I didn't want to get into because that meant I would have lived at home. And also I had, I just didn't, I don't want to be around Williamsburg anymore. It's literally in Colonial Williamsburg. Colonial Williamsburg is a mile long. And it starts at the William and Mary campus at the Wren House, and it goes all the way to the Capitol building. And then smack in the middle is the governor's mansion. Hello. Boy, oh boy, I can't believe I just pulled that out of my
brain.
You
sure did. Wow.
Wren is an architect who comes up on Jeopardy a whole lot, by the way. So, and my mom was still working at Colonial Williamsburg, and I was like, she could just, like, walk into one of my classrooms at any moment. So when I didn't get in there, that was great. I should have applied to more state schools, probably, because they would have been less expensive. But my school was in the top 10 private liberal arts schools that were cheap. Like, the top 10 cheapest, there we go, private liberal arts
schools. Even out of state, that's shocking. Mm-hmm.
I want to say with my housing, my first year was about $8,000.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Both semesters?
Yeah, I think so.
Gee, what?
Mm-hmm. So all my stuff is paid off, which is nice.
In state, Ramapo was double that.
I believe that.
And I'm only 5 academic years younger than you.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I also didn't get any education, so... I got a lot of stories and some wonderful friendships, but, like, I was not equipped to do fuck all coming out of that place. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But... Nope.
I would argue I feel the same way about Ramapo, though.
That's fair.
I was not ready for any of the adventures that befell me because of college.
Well, I didn't realize you can't, dear listeners, back when everything was done through the mail, all I had to go on, because we didn't visit, we weren't going to, I went to college on a Greyhound bus. Do you know how long it takes to get to Florida on a Greyhound from Virginia? It was definitely overnight.
Was it just you?
Oh, no. I would have loved it to have been just me.
Of course.
It was me and my mother. The only bonus having her there was that she could bring more luggage for me. Because otherwise, sure. I could have only, like, taken one bag. We didn't visit, so you were looking at pamphlets. You were looking at pamphlets and, like, the reviews that the college was giving you about the school from other students, right? There was nothing... There was nothing. And I think that maybe my guidance counselor was like, oh, somebody's cousin I know went there and they liked it. So it was pretty. I thought it was neat that it was in a historic building. I don't think I realized that there was no air conditioning. It was also no inter-dorm visitation, if you would remember. So the boys weren't allowed to go in the girls' rooms, and the girls weren't allowed to go in the boys' rooms. But at the time, I was afraid of sex, so that was fine also. And I didn't drive. So the things that made it really, like, yikes, I was already living. I didn't have any air conditioning in my house. Yeah. I wasn't being in closed door rooms with boys, and I didn't drive. So it seemed like, well, sure, why not? It's pretty. It's so pretty.
It's so far.
It's so pretty and it's so far.
Marsha can't sneak up on me here.
She cannot. But that was the only one that I got into. I got waitlisted for NYU. And I would have failed out if I had gotten into NYU and come to New York as the little gooey dumb puddle that I was at 17. I would have partied my fucking face off. Probably would have wound up with a coke problem. Like, when I think about all of the stuff that I was ready to get into in Florida. Not that I did a lot of drugs. I didn't. But if I had run with the kind of people who I was looking to be around, I would have maybe gotten arrested. Like, if I had found the people who I really wanted to be around at that age in New York.
Oh, it would have been Party Monster.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I would have been, like, dancing as a scantily clad panda at the Limelight. The year before it closed down.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay, so that's the NYU path. What would have happened at William and Mary? Just indulge me.
Never. Not at all. I wouldn't have gone. I would have probably had to emancipate myself.
I'll be real. I don't know why anyone, like, willingly chooses a Catholic college. It's a Catholic college, isn't it?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think so. Oh. It's named after William and Mary, who were co-king and queen at a certain point in time. And it was not the first. The first college in America, I believe, was Harvard. One of the Yale. It was Harvard, I think. Again, just came up on Jeopardy, but I forgot. It was a very early one. I mean, it's early enough that they talk about it in Harvard. Hamilton. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's mentioned in Hamilton the musical, which means it was definitely.
And then William and Mary is number two.
There you go.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yale is all the way down at four.
Holy shit. Bring it up the rear.
Yeah, but Harvard is 1636.
Shit.
Just. A lot.
That is old. Wow. But yeah, I mean, I didn't have William and Mary seemed very stuffy. It seemed preppy and snooty. And also the campus was enormous and I wanted something small. And boy, did I get it. St. Augustine was very small.
Oh, my God. Just you and a couple of ghosts kicking around.
Oh, my God. I wish I could remember how many people were in the college when I went there, but I want to say it was maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people. It was tiny.
Yeah, that's Ramapo was like 5, which still felt enormous, even though I didn't see or know any of them. I only knew who was in the theater building. That was it. Well, I think your reunion was fucking precious.
It was wonderful. I mean,
so happy.
We all needed it. We all cried at the end. It was like, even though, you know, we spent some time yelling at each other, but it felt good. Like, it wasn't. Oh, this is what I meant to say way back in the back. I realized on my way home in the car with Chris, I was like, this is why I had a very skewed relationship developing skill set when I moved to New York. And like when Don and I met, I had some behavioral patterns where he was like, but we all just yelled at each other all the time. We never said, excuse me, when we were trying to like reach over each other in the kitchen, which I do now, which when we were all in the kitchen, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to stand over there until you guys are done. But we were so used to each other's
puppies.
We were so used to each other's rhythms and we didn't need to be polite to each other because we were so loving and kind to each other that the little dumb ceremonial things didn't even come up. But I was like, it's a wonder anyone wanted to be my friend if I moved up to New York talking to people like I talk to you guys.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, we spent 4 years, calls him as I sees him, and then had to assimilate into the rest of the world.
You big chilled really hard.
Yeah, and with no funeral, which is good.
With no funeral. Can't hurry up, boy.
Hey, well, once again, that's not really how we were going to do today.
But technically, it's a bunch of feral children who parented each other.
That's true.
Which is why I'm so fascinated by it.
Yeah, we really did. We really cared for each other in a very deep and giving way with no resentment or reservation about anything. We got mad at each other, but it wasn't like, oh, you're asking too much of me.
That's also a lot of freedom coming from, I mean, look, I know our upbringings were different, but they both resulted... they both resulted in disorganized attachment. So for whatever it's worth, I mean, I still work through this. I was paralyzed to be angry. And then we get that conditioned on top of us as women. But like being angry just wasn't even an option in my house because that meant I was challenging my father. Mm-hmm. And that was certain death. So I just wasn't allowed to be angry. And I don't know how that differed from you with your mom or April or Chris, but like if you all felt safe enough with each other that you could express anger not feel like the world was going to detonate or you were just going to die right there on the spot. Like, sure. I don't know. Even though it clearly was like its own kind of fucked up resilience. It feels like an important stepping stone and like a therapeutic one.
Sure. We all brought our own weird raw nerves to it and they were all very different. Like April was the first person who I ever heard or I was ever friends with who like did not give a shit about the authority of whoever she was talking to. She didn't care if that person seemed to have some kind of power. She would say, fuck you, to someone's face, knowing that there might be consequences, but knowing that she was right. If she felt right about something and she felt like somebody was doing her wrong, she would let them have it. And I was so in awe of that. And the reason why I can do any of that today is because of her. Absolutely because of her. And it was only because I was around her for 4 years watching her do that I got to able to do it on my own at all.
And when you do it, when you are the voice of boundary, the voice of reason and like, actually, no, I think this is not right.
Yeah.
I feel like little you.
Oh.
Because I'm like, Lillian could do that. Aww. Maybe I could one day do that.
Aww. Are you listening to Lindy West's new podcast?
Oh my God, no, but I'm so excited.
Yeah, I've only listened to half of the first one, but it's her and her best friend, and they have a very similar. Lindy's like, I was so yikes, and you were like, fuck you, adults. And I was like, how can you say fuck you to adults? And it's interesting to hear Lindy, who I think of as a big fuck you kind of person,
definitely
talking with her April.
Yeah.
It's really good. I mean, it does sound like they stole our format where we just talk and are funny, but
that's definitely what they were doing.
And then laugh like hyenas. It's good. You'll like it.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. I've been looking forward to listening to that. I have actually been listening to an audio drama.
Ooh.
Which admittedly I tend to stay away from because I find audio dramas to 9 times out of 10 be hokily acted.
Yeah.
I don't
like any. I have not listened to any audio fiction that wasn't a book on tape. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I respect it. And it's weird because when I was younger, I kind of liked the concept of radio dramas. But like I don't All the ones that everybody loves, I just can't get into.
Yeah, I feel like the performances have really improved on the one that I'm listening to. Like, it's now in season 5. And there are a couple people. The thing that bothers me the absolute most is that there's a delightful performer whose art I really love. She's absolutely playing someone like 30 years older than she actually is. And her voice is way, way, way too young. Uh-huh. And her delivery is too young. And I find that jarring. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to put them on blast. I do think it's a great podcast. And I'd like it. But
sure,
I definitely don't want them to, you know. Hear me
no,
talk
of course
about.
Not. No. There's no reason to poop on somebody. There's no reason
I like
to.
Them a lot. So I am listening, and I'm definitely benefiting from continuing to let it, I don't know, what does wine do in your mouth?
Mellow?
Mellow,
yeah.
Opens up.
I mean, you should open it up before you put it in your mouth. But if you sat there just like, you could probably get the same effect, but then you might forget what you were doing and then choke on it. So it's really better just
tough
to
call.
Do, just decant it, just decant it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, some things are a little ham-handed. And I'm like, oh, these actors are enjoying themselves too much. Come on.
But there is that.
But for the most part, I like it. I really like the story. The actors get better and better as the episodes go on, which is great. And even the one whose performance I really... Even the one who I think is miscast does a great job. So whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm allowing myself to enjoy a fun thing.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yay.
I just started listening to a podcast called The Wedding Scammer, which is, I didn't realize that all the parts weren't out yet. I hate that. I only like to listen to like a serial one if everything's out. Or if it's like Serial where everybody is talking about, like the actual show Serial, mm-hmm, where like everybody's mm-hmm. talking about it. But if it's just like little niche ones, I want to binge it.
Yes.
And I don't want to have to wait. So,
same.
So the last episode hasn't come out yet, but it's been a fascinating story about a grifter. I've been still enjoying Eric Andre's bombing very much, which I mentioned has like made me feel a little less judgmental about other people when they bomb. But also just like really great stories from comedians who I know, who I don't know. I've been listening to The Good One, which is the one where they take apart each individual joke. And there was a recent one with, Crashing, the guy from Crashing.
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes, who I just find the most endearing human. He's so cute and sweet.
I really like him, and I'm loving Crashing.
Oh, it's so good.
Loving it.
No, it's not so good. It is so fun. It's not the best show in the world, but it's very enjoyable.
No, it's not the best show. I also kind of love that. I kind of love that it's sort of slice of life, right?
Yeah, like, I really like that.
Poi Poi Poi, Louie used to be like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Pamela Adlon's show, Better Things, which is just fucking manna from heaven, mm-hmm. is like that. They're just slice of life. And so when I feel them building up what could possibly be a huge failure for Pete, I start tensing up.
I know.
And they don't do it. And I'm like... Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that I don't have to be worried. I love that I don't have to go through that emotional, like, fucking turmoil for him.
Right.
I love that maybe it just feels like the stakes go a little higher. And then he, like, has a little win. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun little treat.
Yes. Agreed.
I think that's a daring storytelling because we're really, really, we have been really, really wrapped up in like, does this show fit the exact mold? Does it save the cat? Does it hit all of these? And like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of success to be found outside of the parameters of what we consider to be normal TV.
Sure. Sure. It was TV. It was great storytelling.
Yeah, I really like it.
And we're TV wise, we are on the next to last episode of that Generation V show, which is the spinoff of The Boys, which is about like superheroes and corruption. And it's just it. I have never, ever, 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 ever seen a franchise where like literally every episode one ups itself. And now they're not just doing that. Like the first one with The Boys, every episode was, you were like, oh, well, I've never seen that on TV before. Well, I've never seen that on TV. Ooh. Oh, my God. I've never seen that on TV. And now this is, I think I told you, a like a almost entirely parallel timeline, but it's a college for younger superheroes. Mm. So there's crossover with other plot points where if you know The Boys, you're like, oh, that's fun. That lady.
Nice. So, okay.
Yeah. So you can definitely get through it if you haven't watched the other one, but there's way more rewards if you've watched the other one. And that's it's still one-upping itself every time. If you don't like violence and you don't like gore, it might bother you, but the way it's done is so handled so well that it's worth it. And it's cartoonish enough that you're not like going to bed thinking about people actually stabbing each other or something like that.
Sure. That's fucking great. I have heard really good things about The Boys. I haven't touched it yet. But this is very promising, especially from you.
Yeah. It's great. Oh, well, fuck buddies, here we are again. I hope that you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yes, hope it was restorative for you all.
I hope that the whole weight of the world is not on your shoulders. And just remember that no matter how much you care about things, if you don't care for yourself, you cannot be a warrior tomorrow. So that's make right. sure that you're putting aside time and not doom scrolling and trying to take the wins when they come and trying to, you know, do nice things for other people, which also feels good.
Yeah. Good luck, guys.
Good luck.
I'm trying. My jaw keeps hurting.
You know what I feel all the time? We just watched Titanic, the movie. Not too long ago, and when the band that's like playing as the ship goes down, and then the guy when like the it's too slanty for them to keep doing it, the band leader is like, "It was a privilege playing with you fellows." Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about you and all of our listeners. It's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute privilege and a pleasure, and cool.
Fuck.
Maybe it'll snow this year.
I haven't thought about snow yet.
It's because it hasn't really snowed significantly here in years.
Wow, that's true.
Not in the north part, anyway. Maybe it did down... Well, because you were in snow somewhere else.
But very little. Very little given where it was. Mm-hmm. Last time there was significant snow, I was living in my old house, and it was the January of 2021, and we got like feet of snow.
Yeah.
Feet. And I remember they couldn't, so it was COVID pre-vaccines, and they could not plow the roads because they didn't have the right size. They were all highway size plows and not for the little itty bitty lake streets. Jesus. And so we had no plowing for 3 days, which was so beautiful. But also I was like, but it's COVID. People are in the hospital all the time. People need to get.
Right.
So I thought that was going to be whimsical, but then there was the reality of it.
Cool. That's everything now.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, that's true. Thanks for being part of our lives, and hang in there.
Hang in there, y'all.
What else are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Forget about it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.